Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Well, we have a wonderful listener to the show. We won't give her last name. We'll just say her name is Susan.
Sue?
She's now texted in about the upcoming Testicle Festival in Weston, Missouri.
What was the tweet you got about the delicacy thing?
Well, this was last year, so I don't know if they're going to have one. This was in... they're going to have it again apparently May 4th, 2024.
Ooh, that's my birthday, by the way.
Hey. What better way to celebrate
Sounds
your
like
birthday
we got a
than
plan,
the
huh?
old-fashioned nut fry?
That's is that what you'd like to do?
I don't know. I was telling these guys, Stephen, that I've been to a couple of testicle festivals in the state of Nebraska.
I bet you have.
I bet you
that's
have.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's the state motto, the slogan they have in Nebraska right now, their advertising campaign?
It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
That's what it used to be. I don't know if it's still for the last couple of years.
I heard they're going
to
be changing it up, but I like that one. It's not for everybody.
And shockingly, the last time I think I was at a testicle festival was during my college days.
How do they taste?
They're not bad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll take your word
They're
for
usually,
it.
A lot of the smaller towns in Nebraska will have them around a street dance or something. A lot of beer consumed. It's good times.
What happened to
Is
this
there
show?
Anyone out there that can we get some delivered to the radio station so Nate and Jake can try them?
I'm not going to try them.
I won't either.
Why?
I don't want to.
Doesn't green grass count?
Your mom said they're good.
Yeah,
my mom
green
what,
grass, green like, grass what count, Kevin.
Yeah.
If we're
going
to eat some testicles,
your
make
mom,
sure they're grass-fed.
Yeah.
Your mom doesn't know what you're talking about.
That's where I'm going. Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't, look, I believe my mom, but also, what was it that the person tweeted you that said, as long as you don't think about what you're putting in your mouth? It's good.
I've heard that before.
That's
you could
I've
smoke.
Tried to convince
hey,
my wife of that
could,
for a long
you could
time.
Smoke a nice set this weekend.
Yeah,
you could.
I'm good.
who are you, Kadarius Toney, right now?
I'm good.
I mean, we get it. But I want you to do this for the show, and I want you to do it for your mom.
I want you to do it. How about that?
Okay. It's fine. I'll
okay, there, see,
backfire.
Now I don't have to.
Now
you
both
do
have to.
No, no. I said I want
I got
you
no,
to do
I got no problem.
Good. You can have all all the nuts you want, buddy.
You know, I already have balls, so I'll do it. I'll get no problem tasting them.
Good.
All right.
Let me know how they taste.
I think you could use a dose.
You know what? You can grab some guys nuts if you want.
If anyone can get some testicles delivered to the station... Please DM me so we can make this happen.
Mike Boddicker on line one.
Yeah.
I'm good. That's the
truth. All right, what wide receiver do you want the Chiefs to pursue? We've talked about Darnell Mooney and Curtis Samuel. Of course, Calvin Ridley's out there, but I don't know that they could reach his price tag. And so anyone stand out to you that seems like you would be a good fit of the receivers that are – still available via free agency, Mark Boerichter.
I think it comes down for me to what that price tag is going to be, right, on things. Because, you know, Darnell Mooney might be the best option that's out there right now for what the potential price could be. He's number one, he's younger than Curtis Samuel. Calvin Ridley's not that young either. He might be one of the most talented ones out there, but I think the price tag might be pretty high.
So let me throw some numbers out and see if you would you be interested in these numbers, right? So Curtis Samuel, the market value for him right now is saying about 3 years, $34 million at an annual 11.5. Would you be interested in that?
No. I think here's the thing. They're all going to be about the same. This is – I don't want to say I'm not interested in it, okay? But I think you have to also look at, you know, what the actual – like you're saying, Jake, what the actual market value is, right, on stuff. Because similar to the MVS deal, you know, a few years ago, we saw what Gabe Davis got yesterday, right? Similar type of deal. I think that's probably what the market's kind of going to look like. And I'll just say this from Curtis Samuel's side of things. I would rather have Darnell Mooney at that than I would Curtis Samuel.
So Mooney's cap value right now, his market value would be 4 years at $41 million at an annual 10.4.
Okay, so just for
context. He's not getting that.
If you want to know why I say over and over again that I want Brett Veach to have as many draft picks as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Just to compare those two contracts, you're talking about 3 years, $34 million, or 4 years, $41 million. Do you know what Rashee Rice's contract is?
Yeah.
4 years, $6.5 million.
Yeah, because he's a rookie.
Right.
Yeah, what's Sky Moore's?
Right. That's now there's the rub, right? There's mm-hmm. the reason people overpay for free agents like this is because you feel like you have a better idea of what the guy actually is. And when you're drafting somebody, it's a crapshoot. You could get Sky Moore. You could get Rashee Rice. More picks, better chance you get another Rashee Rice. But that's why it matters so much to hit on those draft picks, right? Because if you can get a second-round pick to produce at the level that Rashee Rice did, it's a double win because you get a good player and you get him for a fraction of what it would cost you in free agency.
It is a win, but I will say this. Like, what Rashee Rice did this year in quote, his freshman year, right, his rookie year, doesn't happen with a lot of wide receivers, you know, in terms of overall production from a rookie side of things. It just
with the Chiefs, but wide receivers are starting to come into the league and produce
but not
more
as much
nowadays.
It's not as much of a sure thing. Where I'm going with, I'm with you, though, Nate, on this piece, right, because this is a pretty thin free agent class right now. Okay, there obviously might be some cap casualties out there that happen over the next few days yet. We're going to see that. I'm on board with the Chiefs here. A lot of this has to hinges on what happens with the Legarius Sneed situation in terms of picks, potentially. But this is a much deeper receiving draft class than there has been before in the past. And when I say deep, it's not that they're all – there's 20 guys that are at the, you know, first and second round pick type things, but there's really good value there. And so – I think they've got to continue to throw some numbers at that position from a young guy perspective from in the draft because, you know, you get a guy that comes out of there with 600, 700 yards, you know, type of thing, especially in his first year, 500 yards, you'll take that, right? With the overall idea that he's going to continue to develop for you. The big rub, as you mentioned, is a Sky Moore in the second round who hasn't really panned out, right, on things. The Kadarius Toney trade, who outside of a couple plays, you know, in 2022, really hasn't done anything. You know, those are the things that happen. I think it's also important that the draft is not a sure thing.
Right.
It is a crapshoot all the way around. Brett Veach has been absolutely phenomenal in it. You know, there's only been a couple picks I think you look at that, you know, the Breland Speaks, you know, potential, like, things that make this, you know, that are glaring weaknesses on his draft board. But you know what? Every GM has those on things because it's – you're dealing with human beings and they're not all going to pan out. So they've done a really good job with it. My you know, I do think they need to find somebody in free agency. But it has to be for, quote, the right price. Now, I don't think, and Steven, you mentioned this on Mooney, getting 4 years. I don't think he's going to get that. Now, that being said, there's 31 other teams in the league besides the Chiefs. It only takes one to pay him that, right, on desperation. But I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a similar deal to, like, a Gabe Davis or what MVS was here a couple years ago on, you know, it's really it's a 3 or 4 year deal. More likely a 3 year deal. It's really a 2 year deal. Because you do have to throw some numbers at it.
Yeah, I'm on board with both. I mean, it doesn't have to be either or. I think they should sign a veteran wide receiver, and then they should draft one.
Yeah.
Whether it be in the first round or the second round, or the third round. It's a deep wide receiving class. And I do think it is important that Mooney and Samuel come in here with, I think, ahead of the curve as far as grasping the offense, because Curtis Samuel just had Eric Bieniemy as his offensive coordinator.
True.
And Mooney had his best year, a 1,000-yard year, when Matt Nagy was his coach.
Yep. That's why those two names are getting thrown out there a lot more, too, because there's some familiarity right with the system. Absolutely.
And also, you can envision Curtis Samuel being utilized the way Andy Reid wanted to utilize Kadarius Toney, or the way he's utilized, you know, Mecole Hardman or even Tyreek Hill in the past, jet sweeps and being creative, because, you know, Curtis Samuel has over 700 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns in his career. He's a very versatile wide receiver that I really wanted them to sign the last time he was available as a free agent. Washington signed him, and here he is available again. And I think Mooney, I think he'd be a perfect fit as well. So either one of those guys I'd be happy with, and then go out and draft another one, because you've got Rashee Rice. I mean, who else are you sold on? Who else do you feel great about? I mean, Justin Watson can be, you know, part of the group. He's part of the, you know, that's fine. You need 5 or 6 wide receivers. But then after that, who? Sky Moore?
Yeah, that's the...
Kadarius Toney?
That's the hard part.
Ross?
I was asked yesterday, well, you know, why are those two guys still on the roster? Well, number one, they're cheap, right? The Kadarius Toney is going to cost about as much to cut than he is to keep. And I think, you know, I think Sky Moore will still be here, unless for some reason they trade him, you know, somebody comes to get him type of thing. It's not going to be for a lot, right? It might be part of a package on some things. But Justin Watson will be a part of this group. You know, he had some inconsistencies, obviously, this year, but he's a guy that they clearly trust. And he has a role on this team. You know, he's got a role. And you need guys like that can play multiple positions, and you can kind of plug them in, and you're not going to get a – he may not be a game breaker by any means and all that kind of stuff, but he's going to be a guy that can give you a solid performance in there and you trust. The biggest issue right now, I think, with those other guys is trust issues. And part of this is on the Chiefs for hyping those – we've talked about this – hyping those two guys up all last summer on things. And it didn't pan out. But that doesn't mean that – those guys might not have a bounce back year this year if they're still on the roster, but I don't think you can go into that, quote, hoping or expecting them to have that bounce back year. That's why I say, you know, if it comes down between Samuel and Mooney, I think just based on age, I would take Mooney, but I'd be fine with either one of those guys. And then again, you know, you got to draft a couple guys also and develop somebody else.
Because, you know, when it comes to the draft, you know, wide receiver, that's not the only thing that's on their list.
There's a lot.
They have to address left tackle. I mean, is Wanya Morris your guy? Are you going to go out in front of the stopgap? Or do you still feel like you have to draft your left tackle of the future? You need to add to the defensive line. You need to, if you trade Legarius Sneed, you could use another corner. I mean, there's still plenty of things that they need to do to fill out this roster. So, I mean, they're going to look. They'll dip into free agency. They're going to sign a veteran wide receiver. Is it going to be Samuel or Mooney? Who knows? If the price is too steep, then it's not going to be one of those guys. But I expect them to sign a veteran wide receiver, and I expect them to add a wide receiver in the draft. They got to do both. I mean, when they needed to replenish the offensive line, they just didn't say, oh, we're only going to do this in free agency. Oh, we're only going to do this in the draft. They went and signed Joe Tooney, and they went and drafted Creed Humphrey, and they drafted Trey Smith. And by the way, have you seen what the guards are getting
yes.
in free agency?
Yes.
Holy crap. Trey Smith is going to get paid. Creed Humphrey is going to get paid. And I mean, I think the writing's on the wall there. If you were wondering whether or not they'd be afford to re-sign both those guys, I think yesterday was, I mean, right? I mean, that was shocking at some of the numbers that I was seeing the guards are getting in free agency. And so are you going to have to go out and, I mean, you could sign both of them if then you got to do something with Joe Tooney, you know, right?
Yeah, here's...
So you got to start thinking, I mean, and that's what, and Brett Veach does a great job of that. He many times will think a year ahead. You know, like with last year's first-round draft pick, that wasn't for last year. Hopefully it's going to show that it's for this year. And I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out and addresses interior offensive line in the draft as well, because that check's going to come due real quick. And that check is going to be steep, considering what we saw yesterday.
It is, and you guys know this. I've said this for quite a while this entire past season, is like those guys now, after 3 years in the league, are now eligible for extensions, right? And we talked about this around the L'Jarius Sneed situation and all these young players with the Willie Gay and Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, that you can't pay all those guys, you know? I mean, there is a world you can, okay? But you're not going to be able to. And when you start looking at what all these guards got, you start talking about wanting to be a year ahead. I think if you were Brett Veach, you would have hoped that this past offseason would have been the year that those guys were through year three, not this year. Because with the jump in the salary cap now, those extensions just got a lot more expensive. And, you know, you've still got a year left on those guys' contracts here before they become, in regards to Creed and Trey Smith, before they become unrestricted free agents, you know, are they potential trade candidates for you too right now? I think all options are on the table. But when you start looking at a year or two ahead, you do have to start addressing the interior line. Now, Joe Tooney's contract, he's actually, they restructured a little bit last year, but they could free up some more cap space with him on an extension on things too. If that's a route they want to go, there's a lot of options on the table right now for the Chiefs. Whether it's in free agency or through the draft, they also have a lot of needs, you know. And your best GMs are going to be a year or two ahead of things. Some of the things, you know, the best times to get guys on extensions is before they hit free agency, right? But we're seeing more and more now, though, of guys that are betting on themselves and agents that are not going to do that after year three, unless it's a top of the line type of an extension, because they know free agency is beautiful leverage for you as a player, right? It's why Chris Jones got what he got the other day, because number one, he's one of the best defensive tackles and pass rushers in football, but also he's got the leverage of hitting free agency and somebody giving him more money on things.
Jake, you have that list of what market value or projected contracts for the free agents?
Yes, sir.
What's it? You gave us Curtis Samuel and
Mooney.
Darnell Mooney. What's it say about Calvin Ridley and Hollywood Brown, just for giggles?
Okay. Let's see. Marquise Brown, his cap value would be a four-year $59 million deal at about 14.8 annual salary. And Ridley would be at 17.5 per 4 years, $70 million.
Right. That too steep for either of those?
Yeah, I think
fellas.
So.
Yeah.
I mean, any interest?
The lowest,
Ridley's the best guy, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah.
Like Tyler Boyd, his 8.7 annual salary, 3 years, $26 million. But he's also 29 years old.
Those options, Mark Boerter, Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, all of you, what about a trade for Deontay Johnson?
What are you trading for him?
I wish I knew.
The Browns gave up a fifth and a sixth for Judy. So
that's true.
Say a fifth and a sixth.
No, he's better than Judy, though.
A fourth and a fifth.
Look, I think, again, I think all the options are on the table, right? Like, it's...
I get, you know,
I'm just, not a guy that
wants
to... I can
sit here all day and just listen to Jake make hypothetical for four straight hours and be highly entertained. Because I don't know if there's any method to his madness. He's a fifth and sixth. Fourth and fifth. I mean, it's whatever. I like it all.
I was going off the Judy deal, you know?
Yeah, you're trying to find some comps. I know where you're going.
Well,
with this.
I mean, so we've seen guys like Juju Smith-Schuster come for just 1 year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah,
and so like a guy like Deontay Johnson, if you don't have to give up too much, you don't even have to sign him to a contract extension. You could just pay him for this year, you know, and then see how it goes. And if you're drafting a couple of wide receivers, then it gives you the opportunity to see if those guys develop, and if they do, then you can walk on a guy like that going into the next year. I mean, I kind of feel like that's what we're going to see from Veach. Is I think he's going to try to do at the wide receiver position what he did with Drew Tranquil last year. You know, find some value out of a wide receiver that doesn't get picked up, that they don't have to sign for a ton of money.
Well, this is a guy.
He's already done that twice, though.
This is a guy, right? Nate mentioned last week is DJ Chark.
Yeah.
Right? His market cap projection would be 1 year, 10.9. That would be something.
What about KJ Osborne?
Look up.
I'm just throwing names now.
Sure. But like, me for Chark, like, okay, $10 million is a lot, but it's only for 1 year. You know, you're not committed to long term deal. If you're saving that money with, you know, if you don't end up using the tag on L'Jarius Sneed, because that's gonna be $19 million gone if he ends up playing this year.
Yeah.
So that changes the cap situation a lot.
KJ Osborne, Steven, 2 years, $15 million at 7.5 annual salary. He's 26 years old.
I mean, here's the thing, too, right? Like, GMs around the league value their picks in different ways. So just as Jake has thrown out third, fourth, and fifth round picks or whatever, right? It's sometimes those guys are F those picks. You know what I mean? I'd rather trade for a guy with 1 year, quote, this is a baseball term, of control, or 1 year left on their deal or 2 years left on their deal. And see what happens. Now, Brett Veach has done that, right? He went out and got, you know, Kadarius Toney that way. He went back and got Mecole Hardman this year because of where their situation was. He's proven, my point with this is he's proven that he's willing to do that. But, you know, again, this is fascinating when you start looking at the Chiefs situation, because you look at their roster right now and you go, okay, the number one needs probably on this team, everybody would agree, is a wide receiver, right? Or another weapon there.
I would say left tackle.
And this is where I'm going. Or left tackle.
I'm right? More concerned about left tackle.
Me too.
Than wide receiver.
I am too.
It's funny like how, you know, facts end up changing opinions, because as the season was going on, we spent a lot of time saying Veach is going to completely overhaul the wide receiver position.
And then they went and won the Super Bowl.
And they were like, good.
Yeah. Right.
Because all the time we're like, they can't win the Super Bowl with guys dropping passes all the time and can't run the right routes.
Well,
he's going to overhaul
it. They could.
Right, and
we
then
didn't
they
think
did.
They could. But we know for a fact they can't win the Super Bowl if Patrick Mahomes isn't upright and he's running for his life.
And
we saw Tampa Bay beat him.
And the other thing is, it's the way things change with Chris Jones, right? They didn't want to do this deal with Chris Jones last year. Mm-hmm. Chris Jones goes and helps him win another Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, yeah, we want to sign Chris Jones. You know, so it is interesting. But I do think there is still, look, MVS did have to go out and make some big plays in the postseason, right? They still mm-hmm. did need some production from some wide receivers
yes.
in the postseason to get there. So I don't think we should just completely forget about the disaster that was the wide receiver position all year and just think that they're going to, not put anything into it at all. They got to find somebody.
No. They're going to sign someone and they're going to draft someone.
Yeah.
But we also did see that.
But I'm more concerned about left tackle.
Rushy Rice. That was, I mean, his evolution from beginning of the season to the end of the season makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, left tackle, I think we're all in agreement there then.
Yeah. I like Wanya Morris, I think, as a developmental side of things. I don't think you're ready to turn it over to him, right? He had a couple games that he played that you were able to see him in live action. When he first stepped in, I thought he did an admirable job, but he looked overmatched, you know, the other times. Now, that's not to say he can't get better, you know, on things by any means, but that's certainly a spot. I think when you start talking about left tackle, you know, they've stopgapped that here the last couple of years, right? They traded a first-round pick for Orlando Brown Jr. a few years ago in that spot. It wasn't a long-term option. I think once he got here, they saw that that wasn't going to be a long-term option, right? It was an I'm not saying it was a bad pick, bad trade or anything like that, because it was serviceable for what you needed it obviously to be on things. And you won a Super Bowl with them. But they got, you're starting to get to the point now where you've got to, I don't want to call it make an investment in that position, but you got to try to find a longer term guy there, right?
Like,
and I'm not saying
legit,
that's an Eric Fisher or something like that, because he was the 1-1 overall pick, but you need to find a solid guy that's going to be there for the next 3 to 4 years for you. And that might be through the draft.
If you can draft him, you get him for, and if you draft him in the first round, you get him for six, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that to me is the number one need. Obviously, I think they need another wide receiver, but they do have to look at, you know, some other options potentially on the offensive line, if not for now, but for the future, for sure.
Stephen, I've heard back from my buddy Andy Heineman, who lives in Scott City. He's been to the Bullfry, the Nut Fry. He says they're pretty damn good, but anything fried is good. So there's your first-hand account.
You're going to get a first-hand account because there's going to be an order of testicles delivered to the station a little bit closer to the Weston Testicle Festival. So that's done.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Doing that.
Oh, you are. Yes, you just don't realize it yet.
Yes.
We'll figure out a way for you to raise money for Big Steps or something. We'll guilt you into it. No, it'll be money towards a wonderful cause or something.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Buchady.
I'd do it for Big Steps, maybe, if the price is right.
Yeah, those balls will be in your mouth.
You know what? You grab some guys, not if you want.
So. Right, Jake? I know how to push his buttons. He won't say no for a good cause to charity.
No.
For Big Steps, he'll say yes. That's how we got him.
You got him.
Yeah. Got him.
Good luck getting me.
I just think
the first inaugural Big Steps Testicle Festival.
The first annual Big Steps Nut Fry.
Hey. You know, maybe you're like, wow, these are delicious. I want more balls.
Yeah. Right. That's right. Mark Bowridge, if you're in the studio that day, will you?
Yeah, awesome. I'll participate.
Yeah, see?
I'm not scared.
See? That's exactly right. I know you're very ballsy.
I am scared. And I'd say. Hell no.
The idea just seems really gross to me. It just does.
No.
You know who would want you to do it, Jake?
My old man.
And Art.
Oh, yeah, you're damn right he would. My grandpa.
Art would want you to. Oh. Right. Our grandfathers would demand it, so.
Yeah. I can almost
they wouldn't understand the discussion here, so what's the problem here?
Right. That's good meat.
Let's take
you eat
a break.
That.
Oh, boy. Let's take a break. We'll talk more NFL free agency. We've got Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. NFL free agency day two. Refresh. Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, is in studio. I am live in the Sports Radio 810 broadcast booth across the street from T-Mobile Center, right here at the entrance of Miller Lite Fan Fest, where the party starts today. What's been going on for the Big 12 Women's Tournament? But today the Men's Tournament starts, and this will be the one day that you have both tournaments going on the same day, because at 11:30 a.m. it's Oklahoma State and UCF, and then at 2 o'clock it's West Virginia and Cincinnati, and of course the winner of West Virginia and Cincinnati will advance to play Kansas. But then tonight, it's going to be hopping and popping. It's going to be a great atmosphere for the Big 12 Women's Championship game at 8 o'clock between Iowa State, after they upset the number one seed Oklahoma last night. Iowa State takes on the Texas Longhorns. They're ranked number 5 in the nation. And so Iowa State and Texas for the Big 12 title tonight at 8 o'clock. And so that will be a very fun environment. That'll be a blast. And so if you can't get down here to see it live, you can watch it on ESPN2. So a full day of basketball, 3 games today, and then 4 games tomorrow, 4 games on Thursday, the semifinals on Friday, and the Big 12 championship game on Saturday. So you going to come down here at all, Mark Boatrager?
I might this weekend. It's been a couple years since I've been down there. Probably since before, let me think about this. Probably since before the 2020 season, actually, since I've been down there.
Thank you, down here and stretch
your
legs.
I need to.
It's going to be fun.
Iowa State doing well in the women's side of things.
Yeah.
Always helps.
Oh, they'll
the Iowa State. What, the Iowa State is
be a full house tonight.
Chamber of Commerce, Kansas City Sports Commission dream. If the better they do,
mm-hmm.
because they travel well.
They support their women's basketball team really well too.
They do. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah,
like both of their teams. This there'll be a lot of Iowa State. There always are down here though. So it's always a good time. Down the Big 12.
Yeah, so come on down. The party starts now, and there'll be some stage activity coming up starting in around an hour. And so you know where it is.
You know what, Stephen?
Right
go ahead.
What?
A really close friend of mine and his family were set to take a big family vacation for spring break, and it got their flights got canceled, and they weren't able to reschedule their flights. So they are trying to. They texted me on Friday and said, "Hey, we're going to staycation in Kansas City now. Trying to make lemonade out of lemons. You know, you got any good tips?" And I was like, just so happens to be that Comic-Con's in town, Big 12 women's basketball tournament's in town, and they did both over the course of the weekend and had absolutely great time. So because of us figuring out what's going on in town on this show.
People forget that – I say forget, but this is a great basketball town.
Oh, man.
And that doesn't have to do anything with – Kansas, Mizzou, or Kansas State. You've got the Big 12 basketball tournament, right? Both the women's and men's going on. Last week, the MIAA basketball tournament was going on at Municipal Auditorium as well, conference tournament. In a couple weeks here, the NAIA National Tournament will be here, the
Which
men's tournament again.
Tremendous.
Like, this is, if you're a basketball fan, there are a lot of opportunities for any level of affordability to watch high-level basketball in the month of March in Kansas City. It's great. It's absolutely phenomenal.
Mark Boatrager, former Chiefs wide receivers in studio. What's your best guess now? What's going to happen? What's going to be happening with Legarius Sneed? It feels like one trade partner is out after the Detroit Lions made their trade with Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
For in the sense of trading a third-round pick for Carlton Davis and a couple sixth round picks. So maybe cross him off the list. Who knows? Would they want to trade for another corner? I doubt it. Minnesota's been a name that's been talked about quite a bit. Atlanta. Do you still expect the Chiefs to trade Legarius Sneed?
I still think they'll get something done trade wise, because you mentioned Detroit, and I know we talked about this last week as them being a potential option with them trading for Carlton Davis yesterday. You know, there's several factors involved here. Number one, if you're a team that likes Legarius Sneed and wants to trade for him, you have to figure out, obviously, number one, what you're willing to give up for that, knowing you're going to have to sign into, you know, a pretty massive deal. That being said, out there, I still think that the Chiefs will trade him. I think there have been ongoing discussions, you know, kind of in the background. A few things here in free agency need to shift a little bit. Again, the league year starts tomorrow. on stuff. So there's still going to be some guys that get released here. Cap casualties, restructuring that goes on. So just because he hasn't been traded this exact moment yet doesn't mean it's not going to happen from that side of things. But I think they do end up trading him. The other two options, of course, they have by using the franchise tag is, you know, he can play that out in year one here or for 1 year on that franchise tag, and he's a part of your organization. I think everybody in Kansas City would be happy about that, right? Or the Chiefs can look to sign him to a long-term deal, right? The franchise tag is not just a, you know, put the tag on and we're looking to trade him type of thing. All the options are on the table for the Chiefs in that regard. So I still think he gets traded. I think that's their kind of ultimate goal with this. I think it'll shake itself out here sooner rather than later. If it starts to go later on things here in a couple weeks, then I think you're going to see that the Chiefs may just let this play out on a 1 year deal with him.
What would you like to see happen?
I think, look, I really like him as a player, first of all, on things. But you have to make difficult decisions for the betterment of your future of your organization. And when I look at the depth that they have there, you know, they're not quite as deep as everybody kind of thinks they are, but because they've got some unproven guys there yet. But I think when you got another All-Pro and Trent McDuffie on a rookie contract going into his third year now, you have the ability to make a move like this and trade him for some additional draft capital for you, right? That allows you either to move up or down in the draft, a little more so up, or just utilize those picks to get younger at different positions like we talked about before. I think that's my – if I was Brett Veach, that's what I'd be looking to do. I know we talked last week a little bit about the compensation, you know, a second-round pick, third-round pick. You'd obviously like to get as much as you can, but I think, you know, if you got a low second-round pick for him, I would take that. I think if you got a combination of picks in the third and fourth rounds for him, I would take that also. If you're the Chiefs, you know, again, value and what other people see the value of him is what they're willing to pay for him, right, on things. And knowing the leverage that other teams have is knowing that, hey, we have to give up something for this guy to sign him or to trade for him, but we also have to sign him to and make a long-term investment. Now, they know who he is because they've seen him play over the last couple of years. He's not unproven by any means. So, but that's what I would do. Again, I love him as a player. I'm not going to be upset either way if he's on this roster or if they trade him away. But I think, you know, you got to make difficult decisions like this on good players and make moves like this that are going to help your club long term.
That's Mark Boerich, your former Chiefs wide receiver. Mark, we will take a break, Mark. And we'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. Nate, what do you have to say for yourself?
Bo Richter and I were just having a good conversation during the commercial break about the whole Legarius Sneed thing and why we're both in favor of trading him and getting draft picks. And I keep saying over and over again that I'm for arming Veach with as many draft picks as possible. But, Mark, you and I were talking about it's not just Veach. Veach is part of this machine that they have with the Chiefs now of consistency through the coaching staff and through the scouting department, where you trust them with their draft picks because they know what they're looking for. Steven, you just listed off all these other clubs or teams that can't make up their mind what type of team they want to be, what type of players they want. Andy Reid knows what kind of offensive lineman he's looking for, which makes it a lot easier for the scouts to go find those type of players that fit that profile, right?
Yeah, it's, I think, the stability of the organization, right, and everybody being on the same page. And when I say that is, like, Steve Spagnuolo's now been here for several years, right? We haven't, surprisingly, with as good as the defense has been under him and the improvement, and specifically you look at this last year, how good they were, you didn't hear his name floated around for head coaching jobs on things where they easily could have. You know, he's similar to Dan Quinn. You know, Dan Quinn probably had a little more success in Atlanta than Spagnuolo had, right, with the Rams on stuff as a head coach. But similar kind of career path if you look at it that way. But he's been here for a while now. It's easy. I say it's easy. It's not easy.
They make it look
easy. They make it look easy because it is easy for Steve Spagnuolo to say, this is the prototypical guy I'm looking for in my scheme at defensive end. These are the typical guys I want at defensive tackle. Now, it's not Madden create a player, right, type of right. thing, but these are the attributes that fit our scheme well. And they're in sync with what that looks like. Now, you're not going to get everybody to those exact, you know, dimensions, measurements, et cetera, type of thing, but these are what we're looking for. And a lot goes into not just to drafting players and acquiring players. It's their personalities. It's, you know, their intelligence, all these different things. But they're in sync on what that looks like. And when you're in sync on what that looks like, you end up hitting on more draft picks than you lose on, because you know what you're looking for and you're fitting guys into a scheme. You look at the turnover at all these other, you know, organizations, whether it's head coaches, they're firing a coordinator here or there, right? All these different things, that creates instability. And the guy that they just paid a year or two ago,
yeah,
that defensive tackle, doesn't fit the scheme that they want to run. So guess what? He's a cap casualty, right? And now you're turning over more personnel guys. I think that's where this organization, the stability that they have with it, and you can say this a little bit, not to compare them necessarily, but you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers organization over the years, right?
Yeah.
A lot has been made this past year on Mike Tomlin, and, you know, they're consistent in getting into the playoffs, but they haven't done a lot with it. Well, Andy Reid was that way in Philadelphia for a long time. We've talked about that before. But they know their style of game. They know what they want to do for the most part. Now, Pittsburgh's obviously had some difficulties on offense and turning, you know, coordinators over, things like that. That stuff happens, but I don't think we can take for granted the stability of this organization and then the trust we all have as fans, former players, analysts looking at this with Brett Veach in the draft or this entire organization in the draft to make moves or trade guys like a Legarius Sneed or like a Tyreek Hill several years ago, right, that everybody looked at, like, and to this day I'll tell you, he's the most explosive player I've ever seen, you know,
yeah.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Trade worked out great for both teams. You don't see that a lot. But you, with all the talk that we've had about balls this morning, right, you have to have balls to make those moves. You know, you have to let good players go or trade them away for the betterment of your club and your organization. But if you've got that consistency, you've got that stability, and you've got that trust because you're on the same page, it's much easier to go ahead and make those moves knowing that what you've done and you're all in sync.
And maximizing the value. Like,
yes.
you want to buy low and sell high. People have a tough time doing that in life because when something's high, you feel like, oh, we got to hold on to this. And Legarius Sneed is like, is he ever going to be more valuable than he is right now, coming off of this
right.
year at this age?
And that factors in salary cap, comes in, all this stuff, right? It's why the Saints every year keep putting void years in guys' contracts and kicking cap stuff out. You never get in a spot where you can actually be advantageous in running your organization.
That's former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter. Mark, as always, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, my man.
Thanks, fellas.
Not only does he have balls, he's had balls.
That's true.
Yep.
It's
yes,
true.
Sir.
Very true. Enjoy day two of the legal tampering period, guys.
Thank you. We'll be right back after this on WHB.